Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, this is John Reap, host of The John Reap Show, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Downer True Value Hardware Store on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I know exactly why we're coming from here.
Because our subject today is bad dad decisions.
And your dad would come to this hardware store and what?
I think hardware stores, this is the one that I grew up with the smell of the hardware store and the decals of bare feet on the floor coming in. Do you remember the decals
yes,
of the bare
well,
feet?
Sure.
And
that's how you know
it's like a hardware store is the mecca, this epicenter of bad dad decisions. I can clean the roof. I can replace the gutters myself. I can this, I can that, and it never ends well.
But you know what? There are many other reasons to go to the hardware store. For instance, I made up a key yesterday. You know what I mean? Go to the hardware store, make a key. I'm not going to get hurt. Nobody gets hurt.
Any other reason you've ever been to a hardware store?
Yeah, buy a light bulb. How about an electrical socket? How about a toilet seat? See what
but
I'm saying?
These are do it. Yeah, but since you're not a dad and a mom, you're a mom. Therefore, you picked things you could actually handle.
I buy batteries.
I can replace the toilet seat. I can replace a light bulb. Dad is like, I can tear the toilet out. I can put in a bidet.
Yeah.
It's like, Dad, you only have one arm and you have no training in engineering. Doesn't matter. I have testicles, and I can build an entire wing on the house.
Men like to be admired for the things that they do and the things that they accomplish. So while women, we need you to listen to my problems, listen to what went on all day, the man would rather just fix the cabinet behind your head and say, look, I did that hinge, didn't I?
Right, and as we've discussed before, it's like women, when a woman tells her problems to her man, he wants to solve it.
Right.
She has no interest in him solving it. She just wants him to listen
talk.
To it.
Right. So
which
you need
seems
to
men completely pointless. Why the fuck am I listening to it if I'm not going to do anything about
men
it?
Men and women are so different.
You know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great guest here tonight. John Reap is here. And first off, let me just say, John.
He's from North Carolina, South Carolina, well, North Carolina.
No, Hickory, North
Hickory,
Carolina.
Hickory, North Carolina.
And spell the name John, J-O-N, like in Stewart. John,
and he has an authentic Southern accent, unlike, I don't know,
listen,
a certain cable
John
guy
Reap,
I know.
John Reap has just really accomplished quite a bit. He's fantastic. He's a nationally touring comedian and an actor, and he's also been, you know, have you seen those Dodge Hemi commercials?
No, I remember those were great. That was his first claim to fame.
That was his deal, yeah.
That thing
him.
Got Hemi.
And then he
and by the way,
that
was effective because I didn't know what a Hemi was until those commercials.
I still don't know what a Hemi is.
It's
but here's what here,
it's part of a car. Okay, I guess I don't really know what
I
it is.
I don't care what a Hemi is.
Because you're a woman.
Important.
You just want to talk about your feelings.
John Reap was in the movie Into the Storm.
Yeah.
And that movie was flipping good, man. I mean, it held you to your seat. It was really exciting. So I'm anxious to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. But his story tonight is called Bad Dad Decisions. And my father did make a few bad decisions.
Yes, and we've decided that my dad's suicide is, we're going to leave that out of the bad decision that, category.
I'm going to say
because
you
it's
win.
Just,
you
I win
that.
But it really isn't so much a bad dad decision as just a horrifying person decision.
Yeah.
But it really will bring us down.
But in other words, that was more of a lifetime poor choice.
By the way, you know why he killed himself? Didn't have a Hemi.
But we're talking more, and I think in a light and a
yes,
in
a lighter note. Let's hear about your dad's shenanigans.
All right, so I wrote a little thing. I'm going to tell you about this. All right.
Okay.
Growing up, one of my brother and sister's favorite things to do was to find like a hurt bird or a chipmunk or a bunny in the yard, you know, and then we'd put it in a box with some grass and some water, and we'd try to nurse it back to health. I mean, this is what you do in the suburbs of Pittsburgh when you're growing up, and there's nothing to do. There's no internet. My mother put us outside at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then called us in at like 5 in the afternoon.
You're 8 year old. can work Apple TV with one hand.
And I was
finding
damaged,
you're trying to solve bird problems.
Damaged animals, exactly. All right, so one evening, my father came home from work. And by the way, he always said that as he approached our little tiny 1,500-square-foot Cape Cod-style house, that he could literally see it shaking off of its foundation. Because he had six kids under the age of 10, and that will happen when you have six kids under the age of 10. So it was a cold winter night, and my brother had brought an injured squirrel home that he had found in the Cuckler's driveway on his paper route. By the way, this is the paper route that my brother had taken over from Mark Flowers after he traded our family heirloom, our only family heirloom, a Lionel train set, for the paper route. So my dad found out about this. He goes up to the Flowers house, and he says to Mr. Flower, hey, look, Scott was not allowed to trade away our Lionel train set for Mark's paper route. It was actually my father's train set and his father's before that, so we need to get that back. It's a family heirloom. And Mr. Flower said, sorry, Jack, a deal's a deal. Anyway, on this particular night, my father came home from work, and he sees a squirrel in a cardboard box on the kitchen floor with an oven rack over the top as like a lid. My mother turned on the kitchen oven to warm the cold squirrel. My father was always extremely compassionate to animals, and he would say, you feed the animals first, kids, and then you eat. So he sees this squirrel, and he puts on his gardening gloves, and he gave that baby squirrel milk with an eyedropper, all the while warning us repeatedly that this is a wild animal, kids, and you do not touch it. It will bite you. Do not put your hands in this box. Do not touch the squirrel. But the next night, when my dad arrived home from work, for some reason, I guess he thinks that he and the squirrel had bonded, my dad reaches into the box without his gloves on, and the squirrel bit my father's hand in that area right between your thumb and your forefinger, you know, that fat part between your thumb and your finger. And that squirrel bit down hard, and my dad screamed so loudly. And with the squirrel still hanging on, biting down, my dad began to spin around the dining room, trying to shake it off, screaming. And he tried to make it release his hand. And finally, my dad reached in, squeezed the squirrel's head, and it made this awful noise like a walnut cracking. And the squirrel was clearly shaken. It released my dad's hand, and it flew across the dining room, hit the wall, boom, fell to the ground, and then ran away. It was a horrible thing for a child to witness. So my sisters and I, they all began screaming, and we jumped up onto chairs. My brother chased the squirrel around the house, trying to catch it in the box. And once he did, he grabbed the oven rack, put it back on top of the box, and carried it down to the basement. My mom drove my dad to the hospital, and when asked by the doctor if he had a squirrel for a pet, my dad had to reply, no, it was a wild animal. He received an initial round of shots to ward off the rabies. And the next day, we found that the squirrel was dead in the box. So we were told to freeze it and take it to the health department to have it tested for rabies. It did not have rabies, and my dad was okay. But I will say that was the last time we ever had a wild animal in a box in the house. In fact, the next injured animal around the Blackburn household was a tiny baby bunny that the cat had been toying with. And as me and my sister ran to find a box to put it, you know, put it in the box with the grass and the water, my father said, no, no, no more animals in the house. And he took two bricks, and he laid that baby bunny down on one brick and took the other brick and smashed that baby bunny on top of the head, ending that baby bunny's life. It was a terrible thing for a child to witness. And then my brother threw it away in the trash.
Wow.
There you go.
Yes,
so that,
we can all applaud.
That's a bad thing, okay. A bad dad decision, I think, right there.
Yeah, and you went, a number of bad decisions. Reaching, first of all, feeding the squirrel. Just throw the squirrel out of the house. Throw the squirrel out in the woods. You practically lived in the woods anyhow.
It's true.
Our guest is writing a he's writing a note. Oven and freezing. One animal you put in the oven and one animal you froze. No, first you put it in the oven and then you freeze it.
My mother was trying to warm it up.
It's so sweet. He's like, I'm playing charades because my microphone's not on.
I love it. John Reap, man. He's on the edge of his seat.
Hey, did that squirrel have a hemi?
Listen, we got to get to
John
Reap.
Wait, hang on. There's so many things about the story. But first of all, the Cucklers.
Yeah, the Cucklers.
Why is everyone's neighbor as a kid like a sitcom thing? The Cucklers down the street. Yeah. It's always like something.
They had bats in their trees, and we were always afraid of it flying over here.
We recently got a puppy. And like, I had the puppy out, and I go out, and there's a fucking squirrel in our tiny yard. And I had a dad thing. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I will fucking kill you, squirrel.
You thought the squirrel could hurt your dog. What kind of a pussy of a dog did you
He's
get?
He's 8 weeks old.
Anyway.
No, this, but yeah, but it was like an urban squirrel. It's like, I was like, oh. Okay, I clapped my hands, and he just looked at me like, motherfucker. Please.
You know, I had a friend named Peggy who got trapped in her house by a squirrel once.
No, no, no.
She had to call like a squirrel.
Because a squirrel looks
place.
You right in the fucking eye.
Yeah, it was like, lunging at her.
Motherfucker, I'm coming for you.
It was, and it was going to jump on her neck.
And then your dad starts killing a bunny, because the harmless bunny.
No, well, it was going to die anyway. My dad, that was a compassionate move. I just didn't think he had to do it in front of the children.
Well, you know, you live on a farm. I know, you didn't live on a farm.
No, but it was rural, all right. All right, you guys, John Reap is here. Speaking of rural, he grew up, like you said, Hickory, North Carolina. You're not going to get more
that
rural
than that.
That
is the opposite of urban.
He calls himself the Metro Jethro, so you know. And I heard him once talk about how we're from, like, a small-town nation. And it's true. I mean, there are some major cities in our country, but really, most people are from small towns.
I'm not going to disagree with that because he's sitting right here. But I don't know, because I think what it is actually people live in big cities,
right?
But think of where they are as a small town. For instance, Milwaukee is the kind of place.
Oh, brother.
Where no. This is not how great Milwaukee is story. This is just people are in their neighborhoods and they stay in their neighborhoods. People who live on the south side of Milwaukee do not go to the east side of Milwaukee where I'm from.
I know
people
what you're
who live on the east side do not go to the west
Pittsburgh
side.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is like
even
that too.
15 minutes right. by freeway.
We had the North Hills and the South Hills, and you're out of your mind if you think you're going through a tunnel to go to the other side of town. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and then you move to Los Angeles, and you realize, like, to get to this studio, I live 15 miles from here. It takes 45 minutes on the best possible day.
Yeah, but look at the weather. It's still
no, I'm
so
not
freaking
saying,
beautiful,
I'm just
man.
Saying
God
it's all relative.
Us. All right, you guys, if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, here's what you can do. Head on over to StoryworthyPodcast.com.
Kill a squirrel and send us its head.
Why not join our mailing list? That's the first
thing. Join our mailing list, absolutely.
That's a lot of fun. And you could tell a friend. That's a very easy way to share the show. You just tell a friend about us, and the next thing you know, they tell a friend.
And so on. Right, and if your friends want to hear about small animals dying or attacking.
No, wait. Here's what John Reap says. He says you rate, review, subscribe, and share. This is his system. He has an R and R
rate,
and
review,
an S and an
subscribe.
S. He says RRSS, rate, review, subscribe, and share. And that's what you should do with the Storyworthy podcast.
My God, we're just going to steal that outright.
Hey, Hottest, listen, we've been getting a lot of mail lately. You can email us, you guys.
I know.
info@storyworthypodcast.com.
I have a nice
Some nice email. And what I do is I pass the nice emails on to you, Hannes. I try not to pass on the bad emails, although sometimes they're
funny.
Oh, no,
you passed on emails that said that I was a complete scumbag.
It's really funny.
I find the thing is that you actually get angry about them.
No,
I get angry for about 15 seconds, and then I'm like,
no, I don't get angry. I write back to every single person, and I say thank you for your time. I mean, if you give me the time, I think that's a plus-plus, don't you?
Well, not when they write and say the only thing wrong with the show is Christine and Hannes. If we could just eliminate them, that would be fine. Okay, let me just read. There's a little thing that was sent to us. I don't know where this person is from. I believe it's indicated early in the letter they're from a foreign country. So I will give them a fake foreign accent. Well, you certainly have made... Okay, I'm not going to
do that.
All right,
don't
I'm not going to do that. Well, you certainly have made a difference in my life. We're quoting a person. You spelled you, the letter U,
oh
instead
God,
of honest, Y-O-U, which drives me
gold.
On my fucking mind.
Just read.
Every other word in this is an actual sentence, but no. Okay. You make you smile every day. I think you make me smile is what they mean to say. Every single day, even when I'm having a shitty day or missing family. So thank you! Exclamation point. You can tell Hannes I think he has an awesome name, but I feel his pain growing up with a weird name, emoticon smiley face. Just download your latest podcast, so I can't wait to listen to it. Have a good one. Regards, Ashira. Ashira.
She spelled your name right. I'll give her that.
No, she spelled my name, and her name is Ashira, which I think is a pretty uncommon name.
Probably.
So I think that... thank you, Ashira.
There you go.
We appreciate it. We just would really like it if you would spell out the word you. I know.
I don't have this complaint. It doesn't bother me whatsoever.
I don't know why it bothers me. It only bothers me for some reason. But you know what? Forget about me.
Yeah.
You know what's important? You tell your friends
listen
to the animal killing podcast.
Follow us on Twitter @Storyworthy and, of course, on Instagram.
Thank you, Ashira.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stick around because comedian John Reap is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian Darren Carter.
and I'm talking about how I found my father.
That's next week on Damn It, Fucked It Up. That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, this is Jennifer LaFleur from Wedlock, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the True Value Hardware store on Downer, and we've gone down the street to the Tuxedo Bar.
The Tuxedo
Bar? My father spent a lot of time.
Is it classy?
It is not classy. It also technically doesn't exist, but luckily there is a time portal. Mm. So we've been able to go back to 1973 and go to the Tuxedo Bar, and there's my dad, like Norm, sitting at the end of the bar.
I remember going to visit my dad at work, and he would take us to this place called Frank and Molly's for lunch, and it was like where he and his friends went, you know, for a drink or whatever. The point is they had telephones at each table. And it was like you could call the table over there. And it was like, get the fuck out, man. I could call those people and talk with them.
Okay, you know what I like when I was a kid? You would go and there would be a jukebox at each individual table.
Yeah, that's good, too. That's a big Pittsburgh thing.
Enjoy that. I don't know why you just made me think I was watching The Twilight Zone yesterday. The famous 30,000.
Oh, my God. Please, when you tell me you watch old television shows, I almost can't take it. I swear to God. Just because of how much there is to do with Storyworthy. You know what I mean? Like, how much we could be doing with Storyworthy. And you're like, yeah, the other day when I was watching The Jetsons, and I'm like, what are you doing?
I've been watching Match Game 78. Never mind. I'm not going to tell you the story
Gene
now.
Gene Rayburn.
Gene Rayburn, the long, thin microphone.
That was hot.
Brett Summers, she's drunk.
And Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
And Paul Lind. No, that was
Hollywood Squares.
Brett Summers.
Brett Summers, Paul Lind, frequently Betty White.
Yes.
Oh, Betty White, younger Betty White, a mere 50 years old.
All right, you guys, he's here right now. John Reap, like
Avery
I said,
Schreiber. I'm sorry, I could keep naming celebrities.
John is a nationally touring comedian, and he has appeared, and he won actually Last Comic Standing, which is pretty exciting. And he's also an actor. He was in movies like Blackish. Wait, Blackish is a TV show.
Blackish is a TV show.
Yeah, of course. But in the film, Into the Storm. And you can find his podcast, The John Reap Show, right here on the Sideshow Network. And you can find him at his website, johnreap.com, and on Twitter, at John Reap. Here he is, folks, straight from Hickory, North Carolina. Put your hands together for John Reap.
Yeah! Yay. Thank you. Please be seated. How are we doing in the balcony? Nice. My worthy story is the time where my dad almost drowned trying to fix a hole in the bottom of our swimming pool by wearing a backpack full of rocks and trying to breathe through a garden hose. First of all, you might be thinking, you hear the accent, you're probably thinking, well, swimming pool in the backyard, that's got to be above ground. No. It's a valid thought in your head, but it is not true. My parents are okay. We had an in-ground pool in the backyard. Had a deep end, had a shallow end. It was the kind that had the lining in it. And one day, not the cement kind, actually had the lining, you know. And the lining got ripped at the very bottom of the deep end. And he had to fix it himself, which was fine. But he could have easily let all the water drain out first. But that would have been simple, safe, and efficient. He's like, so he goes out. And he buys this underwater repair kit. They have those. And he gets a backpack full of rocks to hold him down at the bottom, you know, so he can fix it but not float to the top, you see, where there's like oxygen and shit. And then he's going to use a garden hose to breathe through. And I wish you could have seen this because there was a moment where he was actually like hanging on the side of the pool in the deep end, okay? He's got a backpack full of rocks on his back. There is a garden hose coming out of his mouth. There's duct tape everywhere. No leaks here. And he's hanging on the side of that pool. And he started thinking, this is pretty stupid. But it was too late. He was locked in. And he gave me and my brother a quick little speech. And our job was to just stand there and hold the hose for him at the top. 2 8- and 9-year-olds just stand there in charge of their father's life. And he's hanging on this thing like, all right, listen here. This is important. If you two boys feel your daddy tugging on this hose, that means abort mission and pull my ass back up. So he goes underwater. He's down there. I give him 10 seconds. And, of course, the water pressure, or maybe the fact that his lungs are not strong enough to pull air under 9 feet of water. One of those two, I don't know, prevented him from breathing. And so he you know, he's freaking out. He starts tugging on the hose, and me and my brother were ready, but we panicked because we're just kids, and we just yanked it as hard as we could, and it flew out of his mouth and all the way out of the pool. So now we're standing above with this hose in our hands. He's down there with no lifeline. We don't know what to do. We're trying to get the hose to go back underwater, but it doesn't work like that. You can't get a hose to go back underwater because it'll snake up on you, right? So you actually have to jump in there and take it to him. But then that brings water in the hose. So it's almost impossible. So he's down there freaking out. He's waving his hands. He can't get the backpack off. There's way too much duct tape. He's ripping off chest hair underwater. Me and my brother, he's like waving, and we're waving back like, what do we do? And so he decides the only way out of this problem is he's going to make a run for it to the shallow end, up the slope. And I don't know if you've ever seen anybody actually try to sprint underwater with a sack of rocks on their back. It's quite comical, kind of, you know, because he'd get about halfway up a slope, and he's running, like, he's sprinting, but he's not going anywhere. He's hauling ass, but he's going nowhere. And, like, he'd get about halfway up the slope and then hit a patch of algae and then go back down. You know, we didn't think he was going to make it, but he finally made it somehow, thank God. He just walked right up, all the way, just walked up to the shallow end. And that was weird, too, because as we're watching this, he is staring at us underwater, screaming like he's pissed, and he gets bubbles that are following him. He comes up out of water with his eyes already open.
Yeah,
like that's creepy in itself. Most people have their eyes shut and come out and do stuff. This one, his eyes were open, and he was staring at us, and he was screaming, and he just came up out of water, and he's like, "Hey, come here, both of you, right now! What the hell?" Didn't you two idiots see your daddy down there waving for help? We're like, we just thought you was waving, daddy. What's an idiot? So luckily he survived that and to go on to do many, many other dumb things that are now are in my act.
John, how old were you guys?
I want to say 8 and 9.
That's
like 9
insane.
And 8. It is insane, yeah.
So did either of you think about jumping in the water and helping get the backpack
off? Well, because it looked like at any second he solved the problem.
Yeah.
Because we're like, well, you know, we're not going to jump. Oh, no, he's fine. He'd get about halfway up and come back down. And then, like, he actually made a jump for the ladder in the deep end because we have a ladder.
Sure.
But I guess the backpack was too heavy. He couldn't even really jump up high enough to grab the bottom of the ladder.
I just
so made a couple of moves at that.
Yeah, the backpack, that's when you definitely want to rock the one shoulder look.
Yes.
Not really full and you buckle it in and everything.
No, but that was the thing. It was one of our backpacks.
Yeah.
It was almost too tight to begin with because
it was like a child's backpack. Yeah, and then it compresses underwater.
Yes, and then just to make that, there was duct tape around the hose. It was a hose that went into a snorkel.
How did it come out of his mouth, the hose?
No, violently.
Violently.
Because
ripped
we
out.
Yanked it as hard as we
oh
could.
Oh, my God.
Because we panicked. Now, his idea was he would tug on it, and then he would grab the hose, and we would pull him up. But as soon as we felt one tug, yeah. We were like, phew!
What I love is that he got that idea from those old movies about the original sea divers in the big giant suit.
When they were like in an aquarium.
With a round, with the big, like, metal head.
Right.
And you would tug on it, and they pull you up. But they had, like, a winch, and there was, like, you know,
they
Kirk
like
Douglas
in
a
TV
sailor outfit.
Like
you
probably
guys
practiced it a couple times, you know.
God,
like,
it reminds me of, like, getting headphones ripped out of your ear. I hate that.
Oh, God, that is
ripped away from you. It's like,
that is,
it's
that
so
is
shocking.
One thing that, it's violent.
Violent.
It's right in your head.
And you hear the whole thing.
Yes, that pisses me off more than anything.
It's the worst. Okay. By the way, you remind me so much of a friend of our show, Jim Beaver.
Jim Beaver.
Do you know Jim Beaver? He was on Supernatural.
So. Okay.
He was on Deadwood.
Oh,
and
okay.
You look
Justified.
And sound exact and Justified. You look and sound
what?
Just like he would.
I'm gonna
have
to look him up.
Oh, you will.
He's older.
Be like,
he's older than you.
No, he's older than you. But like 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I imagine that's
I'm a young
exactly
Jim Beaver.
What he looks like. Yes.
So listen, okay. Do you still have family down in Hickory?
Yes.
And is Hickory near Raleigh or where is it?
An hour north of Charlotte. It's about 2.5 hours from Raleigh. It sits in the
beautiful, right?
It's in the foothills. It used to be the furniture capital of the world.
Yeah.
Home to Winston Cup champion Dale Jarrett and the pig from Green Acres.
Oh, wow.
Well,
what was his name
I was
going
to make fun of it, but now.
Wait, what was that pig's name? Again?
Zsa Zsa Gabor, I believe.
No. Podcast Gold.
No. Jokes! I got jokes!
Was it Willard? No.
It was Arnold.
Arnold. I knew it. Now, that's a really pretty part of the country.
It is.
And that's the kind of place where, you order a piece of furniture and they say, okay, it'll be there in 8 months.
Right.
like, what?
Well, we got to cut the tree down first.
We got to build it.
We got to grow the tree. Then we got to cut the tree
down. Did you guys have nice furniture growing up?
That was a thing. There was no shortage of furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so much that it was
a
lot of people's front yards half the time.
That's why they put it on their porches.
Right. It's just hanging out.
It's like the third, fourth living room.
There's a nice chest of drawers right there in the front yard.
Yeah. I like that word, chest of drawers, by the way.
A chest of drawers.
I like the chiffereau. I like that. Just you paid me $5 to bust up your chiffereau.
Chiffereau sounds like to me like a robe
like
that you would make
like an armoire. But the only reason you know about it, it was what the guy was paid to bust up in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh my God!
He was supposed to bust up for chiffereau,
and then out of control.
The kids love a good kill of To Kill a Mockingbird.
I just don't think that the kids like that.
It was a good movie too.
The kids love it. Fantastic.
What are you talking about? A robe?
Well, when I heard chiffer robe, to me, my brain went to a robe made out of like the little chiffer sweeper thing.
I see. Oh, a Swiffer robe.
A lion Swiffer robe.
Your dad would put that on, lie on the ground, and have you drag him around the floor to clean it up.
Time to clean the house. Put the robe on.
John Reap, you do so many things, you know. Of course, you're nationally touring comedian. You're all over the place. But then what would you like to do? Because you're an actor as well.
Yes.
So what would you like
to
do?
Well, I moved here to get into acting more. I was a theater major. I went to school at North Carolina State University.
Yeah.
I was a theater major there. Got in a stand-up right when I graduated. And that took off more than anything. So I
what
just
prompted
sort of focused
you to do stand-up to begin with?
Well, I don't know. My dad was a class clown.
Yeah.
I was that. My brother got it.
Your brother's funny, too?
Well, he's more of a prankster.
Yeah.
I actually like his funny better than my funny.
Really?
My funny is a storyteller. I'm goofy.
So do we. We're having him on.
Yeah, Jason's coming up. and he's better looking. And he has an IROC Z28.
Oh, wow. Does he?
With T-tops.
Where does he live? T-tops? And he has a faceplate CD player.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where does he live?
He's got the Confederate flag holder for the license plate.
But it's a blue version. He doesn't like the red version.
Then it's okay.
Yeah, it's like it's nice one.
Does he have mud flaps on the back of his?
Yeah, no.
His Hemi?
He never cut the mud flaps.
Where does he live?
He lives in Hickory, North Carolina.
He's still there.
Still there.
No kidding. And your mom and dad?
Mom and dad still in Hickory.
And they're still married?
Yes.
That's very nice.
Wait, I need to know what your dad did. But first of all, I just have to say, the thing where you talked about him coming up out of the water with his eyes open, all I can think is Martin Sheen in Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
Wow.
That's exactly like
good
he comes up out of there. He's going to kill Marlon Brando. And that is
you
fucking creepy.
You should use that reference.
Well,
that's
what I've been to is like a Chuck Norris movie where a guy did that too, like one of the bad guys. I forgot the name of the movie. But Chuck Norris beat this guy up and thought he was dead.
Oh, that
and
one.
And he came up with his eyes already open.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're wide awake.
And what did your dad do?
My dad.
That made him think he could do this kind of engineering.
Well, okay. So he, when I was from 0 to 5 or 6, he was a cop for a while.
Oh.
And then he got shot and almost died.
Where did he get shot?
In the stomach.
In
and
the
what
pool.
Was it in the
in Hickory?
In the process of a crime? Or?
Yes. It was a domestic disturbance type deal.
Oh, how upsetting.
Which is always the worst ones.
Yeah, because it's unpredictable.
It's unpredictable. And then he got there and it was not good. They sort of tussled, I guess. And he chased the guy. And then the guy hid. I'm getting this wrong, but I think he hid behind some like a wood pile or something.
Yeah.
And my dad had moved around to the point where I guess he flanked him or came up behind him. And my dad had a gun.
Did he have his weapon drawn?
My dad didn't know this guy had a gun. So my dad came up behind him, said, "It's over. I'm behind you. Raise your hands." So then when the guy raised his hands, and he was on his knees behind this wood pile. So when he raised his hands, he had a .22. Just shot behind his head. Pow, 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 pow.
And got your dad. Wow.
Shot my dad in the stomach, and then once in the hand, and then my dad finished him.
Get
before
out of
he
here.
Died. Yeah, killed that guy.
Then your dad got his weapon out of his belt and shot him?
Well, he had the weapon in his hand already.
He had it in his hand, but he didn't know that guy had a gun.
And the guy was not
sure that my dad had a gun back to the back of his head either. He just said, "It's over, raise your hands." He couldn't see that my dad had
his
gun drawn.
That's incredible true crime.
So he got shot and he died. I mean, that guy died. My dad was in a hospital for a long time. They messed up. They had to wear a colostomy bag. They rewired his intestines 2 or 3 times
because
they messed it up.
What year was this?
77,
okay.
78,
thank God
like
he
that.
Lived, because who knows if they could have...
He lost a lot of weight. Then he got addicted to morphine or codeine, and then it took a year to come off of that.
Yeah.
So then he's like, I'm done with the cop thing.
Yeah.
And then he became the manager of a Goodyear.
Did he get like a dispensation somehow? He got
I'm pretty sure he did.
A medal, something, a ribbon.
Yeah.
A disability.
He didn't have to pay for the medical stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder how he got... Do you think he radioed somebody while he was there on the ground?
Yes, he did,
So he gets out his radio.
He was off duty, but when he had his radio on and he heard it, and he knew he was the closest one, so he goes, "Well, I'll just drop in here and make sure this lady's okay."
Your dad is
and so
like a
on
hero.
The way there, he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm the closest one. I'm gonna check it out." And so everyone else knew that he was there, And then when, I guess, shots were fired,
must have been like a town hero.
So then, I was so young, I don't even remember a lot of it. I mean, I just remember waking up Saturday morning, and there was a babysitter there, and I'm watching cartoons, like, who are you? She's like, oh, I'm the babysitter. I'm like, where's my mom? She's at the hospital. I started freaking out. What's wrong with my mom? Your mom's fine. I'm like, okay, cool. I didn't say anything for a minute. I was like, well, where's my dad? He got shot.
By the way, I feel bad now, because your dad is going to be, he'd be like, really? I got shot for you, and you're out there telling about dumb things I did.
Right.
Yeah, but also, it's like, it's like to be a kid and then have a babysitter if you're not expecting it would be very surprising.
Yeah. What's funny now, because my dad, like me, he's got like a little bit of a gut here. And so when we go to the beach, he'll take his shirt off. And now, because of all these surgeries he's had, he has a scar that goes right between his nipples all the way down to his navel.
Wow.
And then one that goes, two that go the other way. So it looks like he has a six pack.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's on top of his
They opened him. They must have opened him wide open. That's a hell of a story.
Because people have been shot. And people have been shot at, you've seen these tapes, where like a cops will end up in a shootout with a guy 2 feet apart while he's sitting in a truck, and like 45 shots fired, and nobody gets hit.
Nobody gets hit.
And this son of a bitch just fires blindly behind his head. Yeah.
Well, it's
and
hard
gets
to miss
your
it
dad
he
with
was
a 22.
Like 6 inches from him at the time.
Wow, okay.
But yeah, a 22, which is even. I mean, I guess the other one would have maybe really killed him, but the bullet is still in him because it's so close to his spine.
It would have probably
killed him. Yeah, it did a hole.
He'd
have been dead.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a hell of a story, man.
Yeah,
that is really something.
Can we have your dad on the show right after your brother?
Yeah, the dad's a funny one. Goes dad, Jason, and me.
Okay,
yeah. Did he really fix the pool?
It got fixed eventually.
Yeah.
But the problem with this kind of pool, and I noticed out here, I don't know why this is, but in the South, for some reason, most in-ground pools have the lining.
Because
in California, it's a cement thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if it's because it's cheaper, if it's a climate
I've
thing.
I've been to some stainless steel pools too, which are really cool and clean, but it's like you're swimming in a can.
Right.
It's a little odd.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid of lightning. I think that But I think that the that's so true, right? But I think that the lining was for weather purposes, right? So it doesn't freeze.
I'm not even sure.
So what was he going to do at the bottom of the pool? What was the goal?
There's this kit that you can buy.
That's the thing. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yeah. The kit. Because they're like,
you know about this?
But like somebody went, there are so many stupid dads in the world going underwater.
Yes.
We're going to build a kit so you don't have to drain the water out of the pool.
Correct.
That's crazy.
So it's a shortcut. But I think the kit was designed for the shallow end.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't recommend going under 9 feet of water and doing this.
Yeah.
But he figured, well, you know, it ain't going to take long to do this. Knock it out in 30 seconds.
It did get fixed at some
Eventually it got fixed. I don't remember how. I'm sure we had some guy come in
Your mother probably went, Bob or whatever his name
David.
Is. David. We're calling. I don't need to call now. We're calling. All right.
So you leave theater school. You start doing stand-up in Hickory.
I started in Raleigh, North Carolina.
In Raleigh, yeah.
Yeah, I went to school at NC State.
Raleigh's and then University of Missouri is Raleigh, right?
No.
Not Missouri.
North Carolina.
North Carolina State.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
North Carolina.
Right.
North Carolina, you've got NC State, Chapel Hill, and then Duke, all within 20 miles of each other.
Yeah.
And I went to the dumb one.
Chapel Hill is North Carolina.
Yeah, UNC,
not
North Carolina.
Carolina State.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Right.
The Tar Heels is what.
And then how'd you get to L.A.? What did you start doing out here?
I started stand-up in Raleigh, and then I got to the point where I was actually working at a TV station while I was right when I graduated. I was a theater and communication major.
So doing like PA stuff?
Yeah, I was running teleprompter.
Great,
I was holding boom mics. I was doing all that kind of stuff.
Were you
stuff.
Doing the Chiron?
I was not good enough to do the Chiron.
Okay.
I would actually, there was a show called North Carolina Now. It's like it was like a PM magazine.
They just run the same show for 20 years because nothing changes.
Exactly. So that was the easiest thing. It's like, all right, put in the little bug at the bottom and then take it out.
Yeah.
So I could do that, but I couldn't create the bug.
Chiron was the letters and all the stuff where it would say Howard Cosell.
Or at the name of the... Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So you're working at the station.
I was working there, and I was doing stand-up at night.
Yeah.
And I was... Because I worked at a TV station, I could get 3 cameras to come to the club.
Oh, wow.
Because these are my friends.
Yeah.
And so I'd hang out with these people. I was like, well, come see me. I'll get free tickets. I'll get you guys free beers.
Yeah.
And then you just run these cameras. So I shot my own 3 cameras special.
So smart.
As a feature act.
So
just doing
smart.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I took it back to the TV station, and they had all these decks of VCR players. And I could record myself for free at 20 tapes at once. And so I made hundreds of these tapes, and I sent them to every club that I could get the address for with a little headshot and a fake resume that I made up. And within about 3 months, I had all this work booked. And so I quit my job in 1998.
Now, that's a really good example of if you want something to happen, you've got to take it into your own hands. I mean, nobody is going to call you and say, hey, man, you ought to come out to L.A.
Yeah,
that's
you
a
look
great
funny.
Example.
Yeah, so then, and it's also an example. You kids today, you don't know how easy you got it.
Right.
Look how much work he had to put in.
There was no internet back then.
There was like nobody
it's
else.
It's all relative. It's all relative.
Yeah, I know. But it's like there was no recording on your iPhone, you goddamn punks.
You had to buy beer
for men.
So what was your initial stand-up act? Because now your stand-up act is kind of like I'm the guy from North Carolina.
I was fish out of water.
You are now fish out of water.
Well, I've kind of always been because even in Raleigh, it's not Hickory. So Raleigh's the big city.
Hickory
to
is
Hickory.
So out of touch that they even shortened the name Hickory.
Yeah, Hickory. They put the O out. They don't need the O. It's a waste of time.
We don't need vowels.
Hickory. And then you got to shake your head when you do it. And you're going to shake it side to side because that means you're proud.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, listen, you got a great YouTube channel that I watched a bunch of your stuff on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of the things that stuck out to me was your old Milwaukee bit.
I'm going to be excited about this because I'm from Milwaukee.
Sitting here, I thought maybe you could share some
of
that with us.
Yeah, well, I love beer. That's my kryptonite.
I love beer.
I love it.
It's not my kryptonite. It makes me stronger.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me... Okay, I see what you're saying. Maybe that's what I've been trying to say this whole time.
I think you're backwards.
I meant like I'm weak on it. Like if you offer me one, I can't say no to it. Because it makes me weak. It makes me weak.
But actually it makes you stronger. You, yeah.
It's like lightning to Godzilla.
Yeah, don't you watch the commercials?
Well, no, you're lying on the ground slobbering, but you think you're standing up on top of the building.
We both win.
Yes.
It's a double victory.
Yes.
No, I like the old beer slogans. You know, okay. One was Old Milwaukee. It don't get no better than that. I go, yes, it does. It's a lot better than that. If it doesn't get any better than that, it's time to move out of the trailer park. What they should say is it don't get no cheaper than this.
Yeah.
Old Milwaukee. Because you've never bought Old Milwaukee because you love the taste. I mean, you've done that beer math in your head at some point in your life. You go into a store and you're just trying to find the best deal. You're like, okay, that one's on special. That's an 18 pack. How the hell you do the math on 18 pack? All right, here's the deal. We can get a case of Heineken or 15 cases of Old Milwaukee. It's just economics.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
I have to say, because I'm from Milwaukee.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, you nothing that nobody in Milwaukee would ever drink that shit.
Right. What about the beer at Milwaukee's Best?
No. The Milwaukee's Best, right? Also, that was a joke comedians did in Milwaukee. It's like this is Milwaukee's urine. It is not Milwaukee's Best.
I see.
It's horrifying. The other one, you ever heard of Red, White, and Blue?
Yeah, sure.
Oh wow.
Red, White, and Blue. What you would do if you wanted cheap beer in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
you would buy a case of Leinenkugel.
Oh my!
Which comes out of Chippewa Falls. It's now owned by Miller, and they've taken what was the cheap beer that everybody in college drank in Wisconsin,
yes.
and turned it into their boutique brand.
It's like right. It's like PBR.
Pabst Blue Ribbon is also red, white.
That is fucking blowing my mind.
Yeah, that's a hipster thing.
The shittiest beer in the world.
I love PBR on draft. I do.
Yeah,
but it tastes like water, but I like that water.
Yes, I understand you like the water, but it's like, yeah, the idea that people are like, hey man, I'm cool. It's like, you're cool? No, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's Sheboygan.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
And you're also broke.
What's your favorite beer now?
Can buy your own beer now. What do you want?
Because I am trying to watch the carbs. I kind of do a light beer. I like Heineken Light.
Do you, really? Heineken Light?
Yeah, like Heineken.
Why not Amstel Light? It's made by Heineken.
Because Heineken tastes better than Amstel Light.
Interesting.
To me.
To you. Well, sure. No, I get
opinion.
That.
See, I don't drink that much beer, but when I do, I drink Miller Light. And it may be.
Really?
I'll do Coors Light. It depends on
the
activity.
I hate Coors Light with such a fucking passion.
I love Coors Light.
I didn't mean to get around
it. No, I love it because Christine buys that, and I'm like, this is a fucking nightmare.
Well,
why
I'm just. My point was, maybe you'll like this.
I'm sorry. Yes,
you'll like this part of it.
Yes.
Is that when I'm not drinking Coors Light because I love the taste, I'm drinking it because it's going to be like a long day of tailgating or that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like it goes through you.
2 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun
is high. It's hard to actually get drunk on Coors Light
because it's a beverage. It's a thirst quencher. You know, you run a race, you swim some laps, then you have a
cocktail. So was Miller Light. It's like
it's any light beer. Coors Light, Bud Light, Miller Light. I can't tell a difference.
Yeah. I'm watching you on YouTube, and then all of a sudden, I'm kind of looking at another screen because I got a couple of screens open, and I look over and I see you being dragged off a field at a football game.
And I meant to put that into the other story, where how I started stand-up.
What were you doing on that field?
I got invited by the mascot of the Carolina Panthers.
Uh-huh.
It was a Carolina Panthers football game.
Yeah.
And the mascot of the – I was with my friends. I had 10 of us, and we were drinking Pilsners.
And we thank you for patronizing me. I appreciate it.
No, we were actually with that age of drinking thing. Get our hands on. We were drinking pepper vodka because a buddy found it. We don't know whose it was.
Gross.
We were just
That's
drinking
so gross.
It. Whose was this? I don't care.
In a parking lot, and then you said, "Well, the lid's on. Let's drink it. That one."
It wasn't sealed.
No.
Yeah, they'd already drunk out.
We didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're pretty drunk in the game. Cheap seats. They play music every time out. I get up in my seat and start dancing like an idiot.
Now when you say the cheap seats, you're way up high.
Way up high.
Okay.
And so I just start dancing to make my friends laugh.
Sure.
And I'm just a goofball. And that got bigger and bigger. So next time out, I'm up on my chair doing some stupid dance. The whole row's looking at me. Next time out, I'm up again. Whole section is turning around to look at me. And then by third quarter, I have a buddy named Marty Coulter. He's like, "Dude, you got to get on that grass hill behind the goalpost so the whole stadium can see your ass." I said, "You're a genius. That's a great idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that." So I get on this grass hill. And anybody could go to the grass hill. Yeah. It's like the students would go there. This is when the Panthers came into the NFL. They played their home games in Clemson, South Carolina.
And this is like
before they had their
2000s?
Stadium built. So it was a college stadium. Yeah, this was.
I remember that.
Not that long
I
want to
say
10 years ago?
This was.
It's 15 years
ago. No, this would have been 96.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, 96. So now I'm on the grass hill. And a player got hurt. And while they have a stretcher out there and everything,
that's
I'm oblivious
not funny.
To that. I don't care. Oh, he's fine now. I don't know. But they're playing music.
It was Junior Seau, just to bring it around.
He was a baby back then. Yeah. But I think he was playing high school in 96.
Yeah.
But anyway... so they're playing music, and while they're playing music, I'm on this grass hill dancing my ass off. And I think my blood alcohol level would be a 0.15.
No. Is there music playing?
There is, yeah.
So
they're playing,
do,
"What I Like About You."
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to dance right now.
Yeah. And so I'm just going off.
Right.
I'm in the middle of, like, I'm in the end zone section in the grass hill. So I have... like 60,000 people on this side, 60,000 people on this, whatever it was, 30-30. And I'm going off. I do one dance move, point to one side of the field.
Yeah.
And they go, "Kah!" And I'd cut them off, and I'd do the Hulk Hogan. We put your hand behind your ear on the other side. Like, "What are you doing over here?"
Yeah.
You know, so it was just really big.
Yeah.
So the mascot finally, you know, he's on the field doing his own little routine.
Yeah.
No one's looking at him.
No.
They're looking at me. And so Sir Purr, that's the mascot's name.
Sir Purr.
Probably the most feared name in all of the NFL for mascots.
He's a panther.
Oh, he's a panther. And he's royalty.
Yeah.
He's a panther.
He's a purr. Sir Purr from England.
Oh, brother.
Sir Purr comes over, Paul waves me out onto the field.
Okay.
To dance with him.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, he said, "Come out here."
Yeah.
And so before I could say yes or no, my friends throw me over the fence, and I fall down, I'm drunk, I get back up, and there's a tape of this,
you're on the sidelines.
So what you saw
and
was
you
me
drop
coming
the ground,
out.
And you start doing that caterpillar.
I start breakdancing, man. I used to breakdance a long time ago in Hickory.
Yeah.
We were huge in Hickory.
I thought that
Force.
Was called clogging.
Well, they have clogging, too.
Uh-huh.
Clogging's just redneck tap dancing.
Mm.
That's all it is. It's the exact same thing, but they have different outfits.
I thought that was a river dance, no?
No, well, that's what I'm saying. River dance is tap dancing.
But
clogging is the redneck version of all that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just your feet move. You just stand there and everything else moves. Like, I'm clogging right now. You can't even tell.
Yeah.
So the mascot waves me out into the field. I run out there. Now, I'm going off. I start breakdancing a little bit. I'm doing Michael Jackson crotch grabs. I'm doing the moonwalk on grass. That's not easy. I decided to do the caterpillar. You call it the caterpillar. We call it the worm.
Uh-huh.
So I got down the grass. I start doing the worm. All of a sudden, all these cheers turn to boos. I'm thinking, man, they don't like the worm. But they're not booing me. They're booing the cops who are running out onto the field behind me to arrest me because they didn't see the invitation from Sir Purr. They thought I was some drunk idiot, which I was, but I was invited.
By the cops, Sir Purr.
Sir Purr, the royalty, invited me out there. And the cops, you see them at the games, they don't look at the field. They're looking at the stands for the troublemakers. So they didn't see the invitation. So, and this is where the tape kicks in. I'm doing the worm. And these cops timed it perfect. They waited for my butt to get to the peak, the apex, if you will, of the worm, and walked up right behind me and wedged me up off the ground. Like, I'm in a full-on wedgie. I'm like, what the heck? Sir Purr said it was cool. And they kicked me out. In 1 minute time of my life, next second, camel toe in my butt. And I'm like,
hey! What I like, okay, is that I think the real problem is, even if they had seen Sir Purr invite you on, I don't think he had the legal authority to get you onto the field.
He did not. I don't think the cops told him that.
Yeah, I don't think the cops would be like...
So where did they take you? What did they do?
Well, what happens is, you're exactly right. That is a great point, because when they got me by the back of my pants, there's three cops. Sir Purr comes over, and he's got his own people. I don't know.
His legal team.
Yeah, his legal team. They all have blonde mullets. I think they're related to Ric Flair. They come running over.
He's got Johnny Cochran with him.
And so they're like, hey, take it easy. We told this kid to come out here. Leave him alone. And I go, well, you screwed up. You don't have the authority to do that. This is an NFL rule. If you come onto the field, you have to get kicked out.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we're doing, and it's your fault.
Ugh.
And so they dragged me out of there. Here's what sucks. I was already in that one end zone. They marched me 99 yards to the other end zone to kick me out.
That's cool.
Never let go of my pants.
Oh.
And I was like, well, man, it's embarrassing. You got me.
So then what?
Then they kick me out.
Okay, so now they literally say, you get out of this stadium.
Yeah, they kick me out.
Now you can't come back in.
And then there's like a little, because it wasn't they didn't have their stadium built yet, so everything was like ragtag.
Oh.
So they had a little tent outside that was for the cops, like a little tent police station where they interrogate you, like, what are you doing here? Like, I like the Panthers. And so.
Go Panthers!
Yeah, hey, I like them so much, I was on the field. And so, like, they get your information, you know, you give them your ID, and they write all this stuff down. And then, like, a week goes by.
Real quick, though, at that juncture, they just said, just get the hell out, and you waited for
your
friends.
You don't get arrested, they just kick you out.
Yeah, and then you waited for your friends.
Get out of here, you drunk kid.
And your friends come out, and they say, man, you were great.
But I was a hero in the parking
lot. That's what I was going to say.
I walked out in the parking lot. People were buying. I got free beers, you know, the whole cheeseburgers. It was great.
And we're not talking about, you know, Milwaukee's best.
No, we're talking about good pilsners.
Are you talking about Natty Light?
Natty Light's another good one. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's so funny, because it's like, that's the difference between, and like you said, they weren't set up yet, but in Philadelphia,
they
literally
the
built a jail into the stadium.
That's true. That is
because
true.
So many they're literally arrested and charged with felonies.
Wow.
Right. Because they're not kidding around.
People under the stadium now.
Yeah, they've been there since.
It's like the Coliseum.
You know, it's funny because I remember when the Panthers were an expansion team.
Yes,
and this was after LA had lost both the Raiders and the Rams.
Right,
and it's like they do an expansion round and. I didn't care because I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, diehard. Mm-hmm. But it's like people in LA are like, really?
Right.
That's who you're going to give a team not only named after a state, which is a pet peeve of mine, but not even named after two states.
Right.
Like, Carolina. There's so few people, they have to encompass an entire part of the eastern seaboard.
It's right on the border, too. Charlotte is pretty much on the border of North and South Carolina.
Because it's not North Carolina. It's Carolina.
Yeah,
it's not South Carolina.
I get it, but it's the New York Jets. I mean, what...
No, New York. Yeah, but
New York,
you
got
two city.
New York Jets.
No, New York City. Yeah, they both
Giants.
Played, and they both
they're hogging all the teams.
You guys are such.
Can
men.
We have one between two states?
I don't like
one
such
state.
Men.
I don't like the Minnesota Vikings. They should be called the Minneapolis Vikings.
They should be called the Lakers.
Well, yeah,
because the Lakers, LA doesn't have lakes.
I know
they
that's
came from Minnesota. Change the damn name.
Well, then my favorite, the Utah Jazz. Like really.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah,
there's one black person in all of Utah, and it's Karl Malone.
And where did they start? The Jazz.
They started in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Of course they did.
Well, that makes sense.
Wait, I want to hear what happened. A week afterward, you get a citation in the mail or something. What happened?
Well, no. I got kicked out. And then so a couple weeks goes by. Do you remember this sports show called the George Michael Sports Machine?
Absolutely, the Sports Machine.
Let's go to the video.
Go to the video. And he would hit this giant button on his sports machine. I'm doing air quotes. It's like... And I'm like, it's a tape deck. What the fuck are you?
No,
it's a sports machine.
Yes. Call it what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was actually my TV debut.
So you were
debut.
On the sports machine.
Oh, that was good.
That was my TV debut.
So that got you the bug.
Well, what happened was he was doing the follies, the bloopers. And so, like,
oh, sure.
And I'm doing the worm on the 5-yard line in slow motion. And his commentary is like, this guy's young. He's fun. He's filling the field. And that's a wedgie. And he just paused it on my ass, like just with my underwear way up here. Yeah. And so so a couple weeks goes by. They started happening. There was talk and all this stuff. And so I guess the Panthers, this credit to the Panthers, they didn't have to do this. They realized that they screwed up, and it wasn't my fault. I was actually invited by the mascot. So I got a bunch of free crap in the mail. It was
that
dumb.
Was nice.
I got like a hat, a Sipper bottle, a coffee mug, a keychain.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound like I'm making this up, and I swear to God I'm not.
Uh-huh.
They made Sir Purr write me an apology letter. And he stayed in character. It signs her purr. I don't know who the person is.
Is there like a paw print?
There's a paw print.
Oh, brother.
I mean, but that's not, well, I don't think it's really his paw.
Yeah, no.
that's like when somebody puts out an official, like an athlete puts out an apology and it's written in legalese and you're like, I'm thinking your lawyer wrote this.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't talk like
Did
that.
Do they still have Sir Purr?
Yeah.
I'll never look at that game the same.
I'm going to
look at
the Here's Carolina the thing. I actually went back to Charlotte, which is where the Panthers are, to do stand-up. And I did a lot of radio stuff, you know. And I put an APB out. I was like, if you were the mascot in 1996 and you can hear me,
Let's
I want to
thing.
Meet you. And I never heard from anybody.
Isn't that something? Do you think that
He died really, inside the...
When you saw the laughs that you got and you got all that attention, that did that ring a bell to
at
you?
That
like,
point,
this is going to be very attractive to me.
I had been talking about doing stand-up for a long time. And my buddy Mark, the guy who said, get on the grass hill, was tired of hearing me talk about it.
Yeah.
He goes, you just made 75,000 people laugh without saying a damn word.
Boom, do
Take this to the stage or stop talking about it.
But at the end of the day, would you rather be acting or doing comedy?
Well, that's why I moved here, to do more acting. I like stand-up. That will be my first love. I don't like the travel that goes with it. When I came here, I wanted to do sitcoms and movies.
Yeah.
And that way I don't have to travel so much.
You were on like the whole half season of Eastbound Down.
I was.
And that is like the funniest show of all time.
Oh, God.
Kenny Powers.
I'm wearing a shirt right
like
now.
Like my hero. Oh, I didn't even notice. Oh, look at that. It's been your pleasure. Kenny Powers.
Nice.
That show is so smart and so funny.
Yes, it is.
And so funny.
Yeah.
And so how many episodes did you end up doing?
I did four.
Oh,
four out of the
so
last
great.
Eight.
Yeah, so
great. Last season. And it was a dream come true for me because I was already a huge fan of the show. Anytime you see a Southern guy do something that's funny and cool, I'm like, thank God, because we're always idiots and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I'm part of the problem. But to see that
You're
happen,
not helping,
I'm not
so.
Helping. But I was like so happy. But I was him for Halloween. I was.
You were Kenny Powers?
Kenny Powers for Halloween.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And now I'm sitting next to him on a couch doing scenes with him
in
the show.
Did you dye your beard when you were that for Halloween?
I had a goatee. And I just black eyeliner.
Black.
And I had a black mullet wig.
Yeah.
And a black, I just put all black on.
His wife or his girlfriend on the show is
beautiful.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Oh, what is her
I can't
name?
Think of her name, the actress. Boy, she's talented.
She's great. She's also in that sitcom with that big guy, Billy Gardell.
Yeah, Billy Gardell, who's from Pittsburgh. Just throw that out
that's
there.
That's right. That's where I've been there many times.
Yeah,
improv,
you
funny
You played
bones.
The improv there?
Yep.
Funny. Oh, yeah,
Did
sure.
you play in Milwaukee? Did you play the Comedy Cafe?
I've not been up there in quite some time, but yes, I've been there, and I did the comedy club there. I also did a big theater. The last Comic Standing tour went there, and we did a huge
Riverside, the Riverside Theater, I think.
So how did that change your life, Last Comic Standing?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was already been doing stand-up for a long time, but when I did the show, and they can make anybody look how they want, it looked like I was fresh off the chuck wagon.
Yeah.
I think they always do that, and then I'll see, like, Eddie Pepitone and Jackie Cation, and I'm like, They're not new at this.
Yeah, and here's the thing. People go like, hey, man, why'd you do that? You're already established. I'm like, well, there are no rules of who can enter. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock could have entered.
Yeah.
But they didn't, so I win.
Yeah.
But, no, it changed my life because I was like this guy who did commercials. Had already had a half-hour special on Comedy Central. But no one knew the name John Reap. They just knew this guy's face, if at all, or a Hemi thing. And so... winning that put the name out there,
That's
John
great,
Reap.
Man.
So that really, now when I go to clubs, people come to see me, not just
and they can,
the
you
whoever
can use
the
that.
Comedian is. It was great. I was happy.
Before we play Shotgun Storyworthy, I wanted to ask you about being on Doug Benson's show,
getting Doug with High.
Yeah, yes. How was that? Because it was also on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're sitting with Doug Benson.
And Ralphie May.
And Ralphie May, who I think he's such a talent. I'd
he
love
is.
To get him on the show.
Yeah, he's...
Anyway, with so much paraphernalia in front of you. You had all sorts of water bongs and water pipes and this pipe and that pipe, and you're trying sativas and indicas. And,
oh, God.
And how long did you guys sit there?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because it seemed like...
Time is something that he was able to judge.
Well, no, but when you're stoned
like
that,
it's like a dream.
And smoking all those different things.
I'm all for people want to smoke weed. I've dabbled many times.
Yeah.
And I still smoke weed every now.
Yeah.
But I can't do it and talk to people.
Yeah.
I'll do it and watch a Netflix marathon.
Right.
But I'm not going to go out in public.
Right.
So when I told Doug I'd do this, I told him, I was like, hey, I'll probably just sit there and laugh at you guys.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't care. Just come on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what ended up happening because Ralphie is the opposite of me when he gets high. He doesn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he just would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And he had these amazing stories. And I just, I was dumbfounded
and
by
Doug
his stories.
And Doug is sort of immune to it anymore.
Doug's just passing out weed.
He's been smoking for so long.
And he would ask, yes.
And so consistently.
Right, it's like
not
oxygen to him.
Yeah, it's not even affecting him.
No.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I was just like laid back, just laughing. I
it
had
was
a good
fun.
Time. I don't think I contributed much to the show.
No, it was great. It was really fun.
But
it was
I enjoyed doing it.
It was a lot of fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
There should be an opposite of that with cocaine.
Oh, I don't know.
To see if Ralphie would shut up and I would not stop talking.
Yeah,
that show was 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
It was every story and then falls asleep.
Yes.
Hey, listen, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Let's do it!
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
And the wheel lands on prom! Oh, I'm so lucky. All right, 1 minute. There's a picture you have to look up on Instagram or Twitter. It's my high school prom picture. I'm an all-white tuxedo, white tails, white shoes, red mullet coming out the back. I am standing in front of my car like Superman. I had a 1982 Berlinetta Camaro with personalized license plates. And my license plate said, wait for it, John Reap. Nothing clever. Not a nickname. My damn name. Dumbest thing you could do at 17, put a name tag on your car. Who did this shit to my yard? John Reap. There he goes. What a dumbass.
33 seconds. That's a fantastic story.
Oh, wow.
Wait, did you take the car to the prom? Who did you take? What was her name? I know you know her name.
Her name, there was, I went Stag.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you are such a rebel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Why would you bring sand to the beach?
Did you buy yourself a corsage?
Oh, yeah.
A wrist corsage with a little football in it?
No, you have one ready in case you meet a girl there who also went Stag.
Did you have on a boutonniere?
I don't think so.
What was your accent color?
My what?
Your accent color.
It's the red mullet.
I was washed out. It was all white. I was like a Backstreet Boys video in heaven.
But you have an option for like a kerchief.
If I had a date, then I would have done that.
A tie, something.
Yeah, you have to match someone. I had no one.
What color was the car?
It was maroon. I could have done that.
A maroon. And what kind of car was that?
It was an 82 Berlinetta Camaro.
Oh, now you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Right before they changed. Berlinetta. Yeah. No one remembers it. But
I don't remember.
Before they changed body styles. I think 83 is when they changed the Camaro's body style. But yeah. Yeah, it did not have a Hemi.
Yeah.
And it was not an IROC.
It was not an IROC. My brother had a 1985 IROC Z28 with T-tops and a CB radio.
Is that a Trans Am?
No. Trans Am was a different vehicle.
Yeah.
IROC.
She's a girl. She doesn't know from IROC.
I didn't either. I just knew they were cool.
IROC is driven by.
I'm gonna have a Trans Am.
Is driven by goofy teenagers in both the Deep South and the Bronx
or Philadelphia.
Yeah. It's weird. It's the same car for like guys who are in the dead city.
Yes.
Or the country.
And
nobody in between.
And then there's always a Def Leppard song playing.
I was gonna say I was hearing Van Halen.
Van Halen's will work.
That was
you know what else will work, which never people
Leonard
forget about.
Skinner.
That will work.
Skinner.
Or
Allman Brothers.
I'm gonna go deep cut.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this one?
Drop it.
Remember Bullet Boys?
No.
Smooth up in ya. Look that one up. It's called Smooth Up In Ya.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
was supposed to be the new Van Halen.
It's so dirty.
It's very dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you married?
I was married.
Interesting. Children?
Yes. I have one child who's 17, lives in Hickory.
How wonderful.
Yes.
And what does that person do?
My son?
Your son.
Yes.
What does he do?
He's in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays football. He wrestles.
He's the mayor. What do you think?
He's the mayor.
he has a small insurance firm down on Main Street.
He's a CEO of a huge corporation in Hickory.
He repairs pools.
He's heading a referendum to get the O back in Hickory.
Yes.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having
me. We really appreciate it.
I will get you on my show at some point.
Absolutely.
We're coming. We're there.
John Reap Show.
All right, you guys.
John Reap Show. That's as clever as your license plate.
That's right. And that's going to be the new logo now that I think about it. I got the license plate still.
It's amazing. It took a while for your name to get out there since you fucking write it on everything you own.
Everywhere
it's on your hat.
And then, wait, does North Carolina have the one that says first in flight?
Yes.
Okay, so you're first in flight, John Reap.
Boom.
Flight. Boom. We got you.
I love
it. Your show. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi. Thanks, Maria. And also Sean
She's
Merrick.
Italian. You wouldn't know that
and
from
Hickory. And, of course, Roddy Swearingen. I'd also like to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Is he? Is he? I've never heard of him. Is he?
I'd
is
also
that him?
Like to thank our storyteller tonight, John Reed. Thank you very much for
thank
your time.
You.
We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.